Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running through a city of art.
There is so much art in the city. Why don't we take a runner, introduce runners to the art scene that's happening in Toronto. And some of us are into art. I myself, as a former dancer, I enjoy arts and I enjoy seeing the visual arts. And so it's a way of me sharing with the group. And of course, there's so much fresh art going on. When I say fresh, like recently painted art, that every week we can expose runners to new art.
Completing 7 endurance tests in 8 days.
They definitely had a different feel to them and a different strategy. Especially, you know, at the start of the week, you really have to be careful you don't go too far over the red line, because you really wouldn't have an opportunity to recover during the week because you're racing the next day again. So it's a really different strategic kind of an event from that perspective, but the variety was quite interesting.
And crossing the finish line at a historic marathon in Berlin.
It was great from the perspective that I ran a really good race, a really solid race. It was amazing that the world record was broken, and I'm so excited to, you know, be moving along on my plan of going to all the world majors. So Berlin is another check mark off my list.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to the organizer of a club in Toronto that combines art with nighttime running. Plus, one of the participants in the Berlin Marathon a few weeks ago, and someone who survived the Endure Run, which combines 7 races in just 8 days. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Good morning.
How are you?
I can't complain. Yourself?
I'm doing great, and we have a new issue of iRun coming out, and I think it's one of our best issues ever. We've got this very cool cover photo of Reed Coolset, the Olympic marathon runner. And I love this picture. It's sort of timeless. It's kind of, you know, if you didn't know it was Reed, you would think it was somebody from the 1920s or something. It's got this really sort of old-fashioned black and white photography, kind of, you know, evocative, nostalgic, historic, you know, that kind of vibe to it. I love it.
Well, it sort of matches his aesthetic. I think he's very sort of, you know, no frills.
Yeah.
You know, professional, you know, he's very much day in, day out, do the work. So the picture sort of matches his aesthetic. And, you know, we feel great about this issue. I feel great about the issue. And I like that you use the word timeless. That's a funny word to use for runners, where we're all about our time. So timeless is an interesting word choice. But yeah, so it's a good time. Good time to be making running magazines.
Yeah, and sure. I know you've got lots of content arising out of the discussion that you've had with Reed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and well, you know what's interesting, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon, but one of the things that we did that's exciting that rarely happens, but we got Jerome Drayton on the record. So we tracked down Jerome Drayton. Jerome Drayton has the Canadian marathon record, and he set this record, you know, years and years ago.
In the
70s. I don't know the exact number.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 70s, 35 years ago, something like that. And he's a recluse. Most of the runners, you know, you see they're not that hard to reach, and they come out to events, and they're part of the community. You know, Jerome very much isn't. But we did track him down, and he's not too connected to the scene, but he did say he wishes Reed well, and he follows it a little bit, and he talks about his own experiences with the marathon. And it's just great to hear from him. It's great to know that, you know, you put a little effort behind it. Even people that are recluses, you can get them too.
Very cool. I'm impressed because when I wrote a book about the history of the Ottawa Marathon, when we celebrated our 40th anniversary of the Ottawa Marathon about 4 years ago, I tried to track him down and couldn't reach him, couldn't get a hold of him.
Yeah. I knew him through a contact. I used to do a lot of work with Ed Whitlock.
Yeah.
And at one point I was going to do a book on Ed, and it never came to fruition. But in the course of doing that, I've gained a lot of running contacts who know sort of like the ins and outs of like running in the olden days.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember watching Jerome Drayton run when I was a kid. And
Wow, that's cool. You know, neat, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and still the record holder in the marathon for Canadians. So very, very important figure in our sport.
Yeah, so, it's interesting. I mean, with the women's marathon too, like that record really changes, you know. And but with the men's, we haven't been able to do it. And Reed's gotten very close. And of course, you know, it's interesting to talk about Jerome just in the nature of talking with Reed, because, you know, Reed's come close and he hasn't done it. And there's some talk about, like, could he do it now at Scotiabank at the end of October, October 21st? And, you know, he wants to do it. And he's gotten very close. He's come within, you know, seconds, but he hasn't been able to do it yet. So, you know, we're pulling for him. I think Jerome's pulling for him too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the women's record stood for a long time too. Sylvia Ruger's record until Lanny Marchant broke it, and Krista Duchesne broke it as well. That one was there for a long time, and then it got taken down. So, and now we just had a world record, of course, set in Berlin a few weeks ago for overall across the globe. And we're going to be talking about that on next week's show with Alex Hutchinson, who is the expert on this stuff. He's a blogger. He's written for Runner's World. He was in Italy for the Nike sub 2 hour attempt, and you know he knows Eliud Kipchoge, and so
he's the man.
He is. Alex is going to break that down for us on next week's show. But coming up on this week's show, we're going to talk to a runner who did the Berlin Marathon, and we've got some other great guests as well. Today is the day of the Chicago Marathon, of course, so I will be telling you all about that experience on next week's show. We'll have that to chat about next week. And you are counting down to the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon in 2 weeks, and then the New York City Marathon, which is a couple of weeks after that, right?
These are running days for me, my friend.
Yeah,
me and you both. But it feels good. Feels good to be alive.
Yeah, you're going to be knocking down a couple of marathons in two big North American cities in the space of a month, basically, right?
Yeah, second time in a row I did that. Last time, in the spring, I did Boston and then Ottawa, and now I'm going to do Toronto and then New York. So my cup,
very cool.
My cup is overrun.
Yeah.
My calves ache.
Yeah, your calves acheth over. Exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, good stuff, Ben. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, sir.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up, we'll tell you about the Night Terrors running crew in Toronto. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Our first guest this week is one of the organizers of the Night Terrors running crew in Toronto. We're going to find out all about it. Bill Chalpies, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you, Mark, for having me in the show.
So tell me about your running club. Tell us all about it and how it got started and what you guys do.
It's a long story, Mark.
That's okay. We got lots of time.
The running group was established back in 2013. It was formed by a group of ladies back in May 2013. Since then, we've grown from a group of casual runners into what is now a group that organizes four run events week in, week out, all year round. And that's what we do.
Yeah, so tell me what a typical week is like for you guys. What are you doing?
Well, the 4 to 5 days of programming, each night is different. So on Monday night, we will have a crew run where we take the run group to different art locations across town. And they're usually social runs. So we run together, the fastest runner to the slowest runner. We run a very social pace, talking pace. And so we take them to different art locations. And we usually end at somewhere that is social, for example, an ice cream shop, coffee shop. On Tuesday nights, we have a track session. So the workout is a little more performance-oriented, that we welcome everybody who is from experienced seasoned runner to someone who's just trying get into track. So if a new runner wants to improve their fast, we offer programs that we can introduce new runners to. On Thursdays, it's our speed session night. So people who have been progressing from the Tuesday nights, for example, a new runner can come in on a Thursday night and test their fast. So and the people who are in a performance oriented, we have speed sessions. So it's a little bit of easy pace with a mixture of tempo running. And on Saturdays, it's our long run. And our long run takes us across different parts of the city. We don't just run along the Martin Goodman Trail, which is obviously a very nice trail in downtown Toronto. But we aim to get our runners out of two different locations across the cities. For example, yesterday, for our long run, we took our runners to Scarborough Bluffs. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Scarborough Bluffs. There's not an easy place that you just casually run to. And so those four nights, those are standard nights. And we've added for 2018 a cross-training session. It's not a running session. And we've introduced it so our marathon runners and people who are just don't want to have an extra social night and come out and we can all work out together to become better runners.
All right. And I understand one of the principles of what you do is that no runner is left behind. It's a very inclusive club, and you want to make sure that everybody at whatever pace, at whatever level of running, whatever their goals are, that everybody's welcome.
Yes, that is one of our focuses. We no runner left behind. We especially have our Monday night session caters to that. So we, for example, anyone that has never run more than 3K, if they come out, we welcome them with open arms. We do have run guides that will run with them or will finish with them. We also have some crew members who, of course, were in their shoes at one time or another. The other sessions, although they may be a little bit more intense, we make sure that if a new runner or a person that is joining us for the first time, they are welcome into the group. And for the long runs, obviously, if we get a new runner, we will let them know ahead of time what the workout entails, so they can make an informed decision whether they want to come in for that session or not.
Now, I got to ask you, where did the name come from, the Night Terrors Run Crew? What's that about?
Well, there's really no real story behind that. It was just, I guess, back in 2013, one of the founders, Amy, she worked on Much Music, and running at night back then, of course, was a little bit, I guess, in her own words, hilarious, because who would run at night? But being that Amy and most of the girls that were running at that were working in the media, and the only time they really could get any type of free time to do some fitness was at night.
Okay.
And so one of the coworkers just said, "Hey, you guys are like night terrors." So it just stuck.
Yeah, that's a good story. I like that.
There's really no funny story. That's just how the name stuck. So we've been calling ourselves Night Terrors Run Crew since then.
Yeah. All right. I like that story, though. That's good. And tell me more about the art runs that you do, because that's kind of cool that you're combining a run with exploring some art. I understand in some cases it's outdoor art like graffiti or other urban art of that nature. So tell me more about that.
Yes. So one of the things in Toronto, we always, outside it's very multicultural, we have a lot of creative fusion here. So even within our own crew, we have artists, we have professionals. So one way to get people active, for example, it's got like a reward for a new runner, is we want to get them to come out, and it's an incentive just to come out and just explore the city. But when you're running at night, like, what do you run to? So what we decided about 3.5 years ago was that, hey, there is so much art in the city. Why don't we take a runner, introduce runners to the art scene that's happening in Toronto? And some of us are into art. I myself, as a former dancer, I enjoy arts, and I enjoy seeing the visual arts. And so it's a way of me sharing with the group. And of course, There's so, again, there's so much fresh art going on. When I say fresh, like recently painted art, that every week we can expose runners to new art.
Very cool.
Mostly it's outdoor, but we've done we visited some galleries. So those are special nights as well.
But you deliberately, in some cases, will run past some outdoor art of some kind, and then you guys can talk about it as you're running.
Yes, exactly. So what we are, especially on Monday nights, I scout the art installations, like that's what I'm doing right now. I'm in a laneway where there's about 25 artists, and they're basically painting the garage doors of the entire neighborhood. So this is a way of me scouting the area and talking to the artists, getting to know the story. So when I bring the art, the runners here, I will pre-plan a route that will coincide by like kind of a midway. This would be like a midway stop. Then having had a conversation with the artist, I'm able to pass on their story, about why they painted this type of mural. So it's not just running to a piece and having no information. There is some information behind.
Very cool. Well, that involves some work on your part. So bravo to you for doing that.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your own running and how you ended up playing a leading role in this run crew. What is it you like about running, and what kind of running have you done?
Well, I'm a former varsity soccer player, so that was what was been running. But I didn't, prior to joining NTRC, I wasn't a runner that sought out races. And before joining NTRC, my journey was that I ran my first marathon. I was training for my second marathon, and it just coincided that I enjoyed distance running, and I wanted a group of friends that I could run with. And back in 2013, there weren't that many groups in the city where you could run with, especially at night, because of working hours. I was only limited to a certain amount of time that I could run. And when you're going out for 30, 40K on a nightly basis, well, there isn't that many people that can do that. So when I joined NTRC, there was a group of us that we would run together and we would train together. And over time, it became a community. So and that's where the word crew comes from. We support each other in our journeys. So over time, when Amy, one of the founders, we decided to go to Los Angeles, obviously because of life stuff, it became where what's going to happen to the Toronto group. And myself and a couple other people decided that we would continue. Over time, I guess I enjoyed running a little bit too much. And by just de facto, I just became the crew leader.
Yeah.
And over time, I enjoyed giving back to the community. People helped me out during tough times as a runner and obviously in some personal life that's happened. And this is my way of giving back to the community.
And what do you like about the experience of running with and leading this group? Because a lot of us, when we get into running, we think of it as an individual sport and we start out running by ourselves. And then we discover the social aspect of it and the opportunity to share the journey with others.
Well, I'll tell you about my journey. I enjoy solo running. There are times where I want to go on my solo run. Those are meditation runs for me. As an individual, I enjoy variety. So having a group that can cater to that, and when you're a person can just come in, and like sometimes you don't know where you're gonna go. You just show up, and here's a group that will take you to different places, have different workouts. So there's a variety in the social aspect as well. Because if you're just going out for the same runs every single time, it gets stale, and we all need variety.
Yeah, and other people bring that, and great conversations and support, and camaraderie and friendship. It's great what you're doing, and I really like that hook you have around the art. Someday when I'm in Toronto, I'd love to see what you do with that, because that's very cool.
Please,
and Toronto's a great place for that, right?
Toronto is a great place for that. Montreal is another place. We may have been one of the first run crews in Canada that may have introduced art and run, but now more crews around Canada are getting into it. There's our sister crew in Los Angeles. They do the same thing.
Cool.
So it's nice to have been able to share that, not just with the runners in our community and Deer City community, but with other runners across Canada.
Well, Bill, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations on what you're doing to lead the Night Terrors running crew, and best of
Thank
luck
so
in the
much,
future.
Mark.
Thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem. Come by anytime.
That's Bill Chalpice of the Night Terrors running crew in Toronto. Coming up next, we'll tell you more about an endurance test that combines 7 running events in just 8 days. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Brian Lawless of Ottawa was one of the participants in this year's Endure Run, which features 7 different races in 8 days. Brian, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Really glad to be here today, Mark. Thanks for asking me.
What made you decide to do Endure Run? You've done a lot of different races. You and I have even been in the same event sometimes, and we've run together before. And what prompted you to take on a stage race of this magnitude?
Well, very different, first of all. So nothing I had ever done previous to this. And each of the types of runs I've done individually, but never all together. So it kind of represented a new type of challenge, I guess, to me. And I had some good friends from the Ottawa area who had done that as well in the past, and talked about it quite positively, not just for the run, but just for the community sense around the event too as well. So you really get quite close to people when you're running with them for 7 stages in 8 days. So
sure. Yeah.
Very interesting event.
Yeah. So walk us through what the Endure Run comprises.
Okay. In total, it's 160 kilometers across 8 days. So, so quite far. And every day is a different type of a stage. With one rest day on the Thursday in the middle of the week. So it kind of goes Sunday to Sunday. Essentially, every day at 8 o'clock, you get up and you race, and you do a different one. Starts with a half marathon, finishes with a marathon, has an alpine event day, has a hill day, which is kind of representative, kind of rolling hill stage, has a trail stage day, and the one actually that turned out probably my strongest one was time trial day two as well. So, which is interesting. So never, if you think of what the Tour de France does, where everything is different every day, it's kind of the same model in a lot of sense. So a lot of fun. And even the time trial event kind of goes off that way. And just we went off at 1 minute intervals in reverse order of our current standing. So you could see the people ahead of you and the people behind you could see you. So
interesting.
Kept you honest, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, a lot of fun.
And did you like the variety of it? Because I know there are some multi-stage events where you're doing a lot of the same type of running day after day, and that's a different kind of endurance challenge. But did you embrace the variety of doing something different every day?
I actually really liked it. Even though, you know, like the first and the last day were more traditional road days with a half and a full marathon, they definitely had a different feel to them and a different strategy. Especially, you know, at the start of the week, you really have to be careful you don't go too far over the red line, because you really wouldn't have an opportunity to recover during the week because you're racing the next day again. So it's a really different strategic kind of an event from that perspective. But the variety was quite interesting. The trail day was a trail day. The alpine day was at a ski hill, you know, so no getting around that. Probably the toughest part of the week actually was humidity. Actually, it was in mid-August, and until the last day, it was quite humid all week. So that, you know, everyone's in the same boat, obviously, but it made for interesting strategies and having to hold yourself back just to get through a day. Quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like I say, a total of 160 kilometers. So, I mean, the kilometers really do add up quickly as the week goes on. It's quite surprising. So, and as you go on, of course, the thought of dropping out once you've invested that much in it isn't there. So you really do want to get to the end. So, but I mean, that's kind of the technical part. But what was really amazing about this event, and I've never had an event like this where it really had a kind of a community feel to it. Like, you really, there was only 51 people in the event. This was just outside of Kitchener-Waterloo, mostly in and around the village of Conestoga. If you think of the Mennonite country, it's down in that area. And as the week went on, you really got to know people and got to learn about, you know, what they've done and why they're there too as well. And but not just the runners, there have been volunteers who have volunteered all 16 years in a row, and they really take care of you. There's every day you really feel kind of like they do in the Tour de France, where you're kind of pampered every day, because at the end of every day we had access to a pool, we had access to a quick massage every day from a local company they arranged with. We had there was a full buffet after every day, so you know, it's really kind of different in that sense. I mean, most races you go to, you get a few snacks at the end, but just, I mean, some of the days they even had, you know, quiche and things like that that you would never expect to find at a normal kind of running race. But you know, that's kind of the nature of it. And they give you a platter at the start of the week, and you just kind of showed up every day, and you were well taken care of.
Yeah, that sounds like
that for sure. So,
and what are you doing when you're not running? What's going on? Is everybody together? Do you go off and do your own thing? What's happening when the races are not occurring?
A little bit of both. We got together, I think, maybe three times during the week for supper with kind of smaller groups out of that. We did one evening run, so that kind of flipped things around. But otherwise, I mean, you're free to do what you want. We were able to do a couple of touristy things too while we were there. Just obviously, you're not going to do too much in the day because you're racing the next day. But your time is your own, so it's really just what do you do for time management? And it's kind of an interesting aspect from that. It's like, yep, I can do what I want, but don't go too far kind of thing. So, yeah, it really, as I say, I got to know a number of the people there, and just, I should say, you know, I was thinking of the phrase life-changing. It probably is. It's probably accurate from what it was. And it's unique. And like, even when I registered, I got a personal email from the race director. I've never had that happen. And, you know, it just, there's a real touch to it. The organization that actually puts this on is, they're called Run Waterloo, and they kind of operate this one as, you know, their own personal kind of giving back to community. They don't try to make money on this event. It's really about, you know, that sense of community and trying to have a challenge, but at the same time, you know, get to spend a week with a group of people, all like-minded people.
Sure.
And another interesting data point, I think the average age was 41 or 42 for the race. So a couple of younger people, 18, 19, obviously they're a little bit better than most, but by and large, this is not maybe catering to a younger group in that sense, and maybe because of the time off required, but it was great. And
so did it feel like you'd run 160K by the end of the week? Did it feel like a lot, or did it feel less of a challenge than you expected it to be?
I think, I think there's been others had similar experience. I think we got, for the most part, we got stronger, I think, as the week went on. You get to a point where you feel you can continue to race the next day. I'm saying that part of it, but at the same time, I was glad when we're done the last stage too. So it's like there was probably just enough in there, and we did the last day, which was the marathon, of course. And it had been a while since I'd done a road marathon. I'd been doing mostly trail, so you know, that was you know, another challenge, just getting used to the roads again. And but really a lot of fun. But you know, the kind of the, you know, the fifth, sixth stages, they were okay. Like you're not going over that red line. You can never go over the red line, and that's, you know, kind of one of the things, you wouldn't have enough time to recover for the next day. But so how close can you kind of take it to the red line for the next day? So, yeah, it's unique, and I absolutely will do it again at some point. And, you know, just there's a challenge there. And even though I've finished it and I'm really, really happy with that and the results, you know, you kind of walk away thinking, oh, I could maybe do a little bit more here, you know, kind of thing. And,
do you want to do more of this kind of event? Would you want to do more? This is a multi-stage event. It's not, I guess it's not technically an ultra marathon, but would you want to do more ultra distance types of events and multi-stage events?
Yeah, I've done, I've moved more into the ultra distance event. So that was kind of what I was coming in with. I did a 56K race in early July this year. So that was part of my prep. So a lot of good mileage and getting used to going longer. And, you know, it almost feels this could be analogous to like a destination race where you go off and maybe not necessarily seven stages in 8 days, but there could be something similar for two or three days. I know out of Montreal just did one in France. I think it was 4 days, you know, and in the mountains. So there are a few, maybe not quite the same as this one, but there are a few multi-day stage running kind of focused events. So we're not doing other types of stage events, but it's all running still, which is, for me, was the important thing. I still view myself as a runner, and that's my main thing for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. Well, congratulations, Brian. That's a huge accomplishment, and it's great to hear your description of the event. It sounds very cool, very appealing. Well done. Thank you for being on the show with us.
Well, thank you much, Mark. I always appreciate and love your show, so keep up the good work and look forward to hearing more in the future. Thanks, Mark.
That's Brian Lawless of Ottawa. Coming up next, one of the thousands who were part of last month's Berlin Marathon. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Julie Drury has been with us before on iRun Radio. She's the inspiring marathon runner who has raised awareness and money for Team Mito Canada. Julie lost her daughter to mitochondrial disease, and Julie has just completed the Berlin Marathon in Germany. Julie, welcome back to iRun Radio.
Thanks, Mark. I always love talking to you about running.
So how was the Berlin Marathon?
It was great. It was great from the perspective that I ran a really good race, a really solid race. It was amazing that the world record was broken, and I'm so excited to, you know, be moving along on my plan of going to all the world majors. So Berlin is another check mark off my list.
Yeah, congratulations on that. So which ones have you done so far?
So I've done Boston a few times, New York, Chicago, and now Berlin, and I have London and Tokyo left to do.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Have you figured out when and how you're going to do those? Because the challenge with some of these events is getting in, right?
Yeah, it's pretty a big challenge to get in. So Berlin, I applied for the lottery, which is where you put your name in, and they basically choose your name out of a hat. And I was fortunate that this was my second time applying for the lottery, and I got in.
Wow.
London and Tokyo are also very difficult to get in. So I'll apply for the lotteries, but I'm also thinking about, you know, how long my body's going to keep up this whole marathon thing, and maybe I might look into buying a package through a travel agency, which those are types of things that are offered. You can also fundraise for a charity, and that's another way to get into the race. I don't think I'm going to qualify as an elite anytime soon, so those are really my options right now.
Yeah, but you're lucky because you got into at least one of them without having to go that route, which can get a little bit more expensive, right?
Yeah, it can. I did a travel package for New York. after Hurricane Katrina went through there, and it is a little bit more expensive. Not so much for the race bib, but that you have to commit to traveling with them. So you can't really get deals on your airfare, and you're paying a premium hotel rate, whereas in Berlin, we did an Airbnb. So it can be a little bit more expensive that way. But it's sort of a backup plan. I'll try the lotteries first and see where that gets me. I think London will be the next one. They're both spring marathons, London and Tokyo. They're both April races, so I believe. So I think I'll give them a try maybe for, you know, in the next couple of years and see what happens.
Yeah. So tell us more about Berlin. How would you describe the event? I know the weather was good that day. Obviously, a world record was set, so it was a good day for running. Tell me a little bit about the race.
Yeah. So Berlin has an incredible infrastructure, subway transportation system, so absolutely no issues getting to the start line. And it's a later start. It's like a 9:30 a.m. start. For me, that's a late start. I'm an early morning runner. But it was kind of nice given jet lag that I was trying to get over. I got to the start line. You basically walk through the Brandenburg Gate, like this epic part of Berlin and history, and, you know, the Berlin Wall and the whole sort of East Berlin, West Berlin saga. So you walk through the Brandenburg Gate and you go to an athlete's village that's right in front of the Berlin Parliament, this another iconic building. So just absolutely beautiful to be in those areas and seeing those types of vistas. Athletes Village was a bit chaotic, I have to say. I was surprised. Porta potties were an issue. They always are. And it's a long, long walk to the start line. So a good half hour walk to the start line. And I was warned about that by a good friend of mine who ran Berlin a couple years ago. So I knew to leave early from the Athletes Village and to start my walk to the start line. And you walk through Tiergarten, which is this incredible forest in Berlin, like a downtown forest. You walk through Tiergarten to get to your start line. The starts are staggered, so there's waves, which is organizing your runners into their anticipated race times. But it was a bit chaotic compared to my experiences at Boston and New York and Chicago. It was a bit chaotic, the start. And very, very dense, 44,000 runners packed together. So you were constantly jockeying for position. Usually that thins out in a marathon after the first several kilometers, but it never thinned out in Berlin. So it was tight. Incredible course. You're running through basically downtown Berlin, and you're seeing all these, you know, epic points of interest. There's fans all throughout the race route. Reminded me a lot of both Chicago and Boston for the fan support. There's bands all along the way. As you said, it was beautiful weather. It was 24 degrees, a bit warm for me. So hydration was a bit of a thing, but it was great weather. And I don't think I heard one person speaking English on the entire race course. So many different countries, Japan, China, Mexico, Brazil. Just incredible amount of runners from so many different countries.
And I know that you always run now wearing a Team Mito Canada a shirt, and you run for Team Mito Canada. We've talked about it before. You lost your daughter to mitochondrial disease. And this is important to you. And it's interesting that the timing of the Berlin Marathon was coincidental with Global Mito Awareness Week, right?
Yeah. So September 16th was the day of the marathon, and that is the date, the first day of Global Mitochondrial Disease Awareness Week. Mito is still a largely, I wouldn't say unknown disease, but awareness is coming. I wear a Mito shirt. My Mito shirt is pink in honor of Kate. We went pink the year that she died, and that's really meaningful for me. Sorry, my voice wavers when I talk about Kate.
Of course.
But really powerful. Running is a real connection for me to her as well. I really feel strong when I run. I think about her a lot when I run. And it was powerful for me. And marathon racing was something that kind of gave me strength and gave me something to focus on when I was intensely caring for my daughter. So I started running marathons when she was 2 years old, and I'm continuing now because of the awareness that we can raise through Mito Canada Foundation and Team Mito Canada. I'm on the board of directors for that foundation now, and I'm very entrenched in the organization. As you know, Team Mito runs every year at Ottawa Race Weekend, and we've raised over $100,000 for the charity over the past 6 years. So Ottawa has shown significant support for both our family and this foundation. So, yeah, running in Berlin on that day was really powerful for me.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I mean, running has for you become a way of raising money and a way of raising awareness about this. It's an outward thing, but it's also deeply personal as well, because of what you've been through, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's deeply, as I said, it's a connection to my daughter. Kate suffered a lot through her life with pain, and she really had to go through a lot. And as you know, you're a marathon runner, Mark, and marathon is not an easy thing to do. It's painful. I went in with a little bit of injury, and I remember I hit the 10-kilometer mark, and I thought to myself, this sucks. This really hurts. I'm not sure I want to do this. And then I said to myself, make a decision. Decide if you're going to the med tent and you're pulling out, or if you're going to suck this up and endure the discomfort. And in memory of Kate, and I did. So she has that kind of impact. She's had that kind of impact in my life, and she continues to through running. I think the other thing that running does for me is it really helps me manage my grief. It helps me manage the depression that I've had since Kate has died, and other symptoms that I've had, including anxiety and having been diagnosed with medical PTSD. Those are very harsh and difficult things to live with. And running for me is what grounds me. It's what helps me manage those symptoms. It's what helps me feel better. And it's a way of also supporting the community that I feel very, very passionate about.
Yeah, and you've done so much for Team Mito Canada to raise awareness. I'll use myself as an example. I didn't know anything about mitochondrial disease until I started hearing about it from you. So you've had a huge impact on this, and I know that'll be part of your focus going forward as you get ready for the next Ottawa Race Weekend in the spring. What else do you have coming up, Julie, beyond that and beyond the ultimate goal of completing all of the World Marathon Majors? What else is on your running horizon?
So I don't have a set plan for any upcoming races. I'll, of course, be running in Ottawa. I'm considering being a pace bunny for the half, so stay tuned about that.
Oh, good.
And if not, I'll always be racing for Team Mito. Really happy that we had an amazing Team Mito representation at the Army Run. Denny Brown, who's a local dad, and his family ran on behalf of their daughter, Audrey. And we've had some really, wonderful support in other events. Team Mito is going to be at the Toronto Waterfront Scotiabank Marathon in October on the 23rd. The actual CEO of Mito Canada Foundation, Blaine Penny, is going to be running in a battery costume. So battery sort of, charging up and kind of being linked back to the energy that our mitochondria produce. And he's going for a world record, another Guinness World Record, focused on, the fastest time in a marathon and running in a costume. So I'm going to probably make the trek down to Toronto, perhaps run the half. But I'm going to let my body recover. I'm going to get over some of the nagging injuries that were kind of following me through Berlin, and enjoy the off season. And I also want to give a shout out to my coach for Berlin, Ian Fraser from Psychologic. This is the first time I've worked with a coach, and Ian was incredible and managed me really well over the last 6 months. And I think the performance that I had at Berlin that I'm really proud about, which is a Boston qualifier for me, a lot of that credit goes to Ian's program for me. Yeah.
Right on. Well, congratulations again, Julie, not just for the Berlin Marathon, but for all that you do. And I know your family is proud. I know your daughter would be proud. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate your time, too. And I'm looking forward to getting out for a run with you soon. So
that would be great. Sounds good. Thanks, Julie.
Take care.
That's Julie Drury of Ottawa. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, we'll dissect the world record performance in the Berlin Marathon with running expert Alex Hutchinson, Olympic marathoner Reed Coolset, who is on the cover of the latest issue of iRun, and we'll talk to a runner who has completed marathons all over the world, including Antarctica. I hope you can be with us for the next edition of iRun Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.